into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, and welcome to Season 12, Episode 3 of Grey's Anatomy. I choose you, and you, and you.
All of us.
I'm Julie Parton.
Hi, everyone. I'm Marissa Serafini.
What's up? I'm Jay Howard.
And we are stoked to bring you the conversation tonight. Mm-hmm. As always, mm-hmm. We will carry it on live on our Twitter feed.
Yes.
Hashtag ABTVGrey's.
ABTV Grays.
And you guys kept it very interesting this entire week with comments.
Yes. There were a lot of active people.
Loved it.
I mean, everything from Twitter to the comments on our YouTube to our iTunes, people were telling us what's up.
And what's up? Tell us what's up.
Well, people agreed with us on some stuff. People didn't agree with us on some stuff. They filled us in on the holes. Of course, Maggie's chief of cardio, duh, you know, like that type of thing.
Right.
But to me, this episode is my favorite of the season.
Okay. Well, there's only three to choose from, so right. Still, not that big of a deal, but congratulations.
If you're going to go past the last season, too, it's probably my favorite in several.
Whoa.
Several.
Oh. Because wait, several seasons or several? Wait.
No. Not several seasons.
Okay.
Several
Pump
episodes.
The brakes. Okay.
Basically, for the moment, Derek was going to be dying until he did. None of those count. Those are not my favorite.
Fair enough.
But this one hit all the right notes.
Tell us what notes it hits. And if you, why don't you sing it? If they hit the right notes, sing it, and that way it'll work out.
Put me on the spot with my voice.
You got it.
And I'm not
Five,
too...
Five, six, seven, eight.
I guess it's payback for the first week when I try to make you guys sing.
Yes, that's true. That is true.
No,
Why was it your favorite episode?
It was interesting. It involved elements of feminist culture, and I almost cried. I actually think I might have cried a little.
And I loved it. And, you know, having Meredith stick up for herself, who runs the world? We should have started the show on that.
I know, right? Yeah, and this whole episode had so many covers. They had a ring on it, Scrubs.
The whole season's had a ton of covers. They've done, like, three Taylor Swift songs. Every time you come up there, they did Fancy last week, which was really cool.
That was fun.
Which is, like, the only way to make that song cool is not have Iggy Azalea sing it, right?
Wrong, no. Iggy Azalea singing it is
still good.
Yeah.
Still good.
But I like the covers better than the 80s season or the 70s season.
Right. That was a hard season to get through because I love the soundtrack to all the seasons of Grey's Anatomy. And, you know, every time an episode ends, I go to iTunes and find songs. And then, like, that season, I couldn't.
Yeah. Took the joy away.
Yep.
Well, let's go back to the feminism issue.
Well, because, that's where the episode started with Meredith sitting in her product placed car.
Yes.
And waiting
Thank
for
you,
the
Lexus.
Sisters. Apparently, they carpool together for the sake of the babies and the future
so
of the world.
So, why does Lexus product place when, I mean, like, I can't imagine a bunch of people watching the show can all afford a Lexus, right? Is that smart
the
product
dollars.
Placement?
I think
I can't
you're
afford
wrong.
A Lexus.
Most of the people that watch the show are probably, like, women who've watched it since
right,
the beginning.
Right,
and are now, like, sitting pretty in their late 20s or 30s.
Oh, so they've been at it for a while. They've been making that money, and now they can get that Lexus.
Not everyone. Yeah. Obviously not everyone.
But you gotta remember, they are doctors. They make a good
That's
amount
true.
In the
That's
world.
True.
So I'm pretty sure that Meredith is definitely capable of affording a Lexus.
That's true. That is very true.
This was funny because not until this moment, I mean, we had been tweeting about it over the week, but not until this moment did I realize that they had the Lady Chief trifecta. They're really, almost That's every true. Position in the entire hospital is held by a woman right now.
That's great.
And yeah, like I said, that was the point of the whole episode. I mean, well, maybe not the point of the whole episode, but that was a big theme in the entire episode was female empowerment, right? And I mean, you had that through basically every storyline with the different. I don't want to ruin the whole show and jump to the end, but that was basically a storyline through all of the different plot lines, right?
I mainly saw it in the Meredith one. In what other ways was it included?
Well, so I mean, I think I guess maybe it wasn't woven into every storyline, but at the very end when Joe rejected Alex. I think you see it there. And then at the very end, when you see Maggie make a move on DeLuca. Yes, thank you. I've got a friend named, his name's Brian DeLuca, and he's a big, hairy Italian guy. And so every time I see DeLuca, I think of him, it's a totally different guy. But I feel like I saw it multiple times.
Okay, I could see that.
Which is fine.
What I really liked about this is that Meredith gets her offer. It's very low. That's not the fact I didn't like. But what's so funny is all the other characters who are chiefs give it the same look.
The face.
The wits, yeah. So she's taking it around to them, trying to figure out what's going on. And Callie's like, I don't talk money with friends. She's like, money? Uh-huh. We were talking about money.
My favorite part was when Callie kept saying, it's not a big deal. I just make way more than you. It's totally cool. I just make a lot more than you. And she keeps reminding her of it.
Right. And Meredith, I guess, accepted the offer before countering. And what's so crazy is I've actually been through this recently. So I did a lot of research, and the statistics behind women asking for raises and increases in their salaries versus men is nuts.
Tell us the research. Enlighten us.
I believe it is something like 50% of men ask for raises and 7% of women.
Did you ask for a raise?
Yes, they did.
Yes, look at you.
And
just Meredith 2.0.
It was just like the situation where I'm like, I feel like I deserve more than this, but I want the job. And Meredith was probably feeling the same way. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe I need the money, maybe I don't, but this to her, it was like a little bit of an insulting offer. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Maybe not before everyone else has chimed in, but once she figured out everyone was making more, you know?
Right. And am I the only one who wanted to, maybe just me, maybe I'm just money obsessed. I wanted to know what the number was.
Oh, I wanted to know what it was too.
How much are they saying she makes?
I don't even think it's really the exact value that counts. It's just the fact that it happened and that, I mean, granted, I don't want to keep bringing up Derek, but Meredith didn't have a male counterpart to really go to and ask, is this a reasonable offer that they're giving me? Is it because I'm in this position or is it because I'm a woman? Mm-hmm. Not to bring gender issues into this, but to go off of someone else who's also been in a position of authority. So I love the fact that she went to other different women of authority at this hospital to say, hey, there's an issue here. What should I do?
Yeah, that's what's crazy is it's not like she was making less because she was a woman. We didn't know why. Right. We didn't know why the offer was so low. Mm-hmm. And let's just jump to it. Chief goes up to Bailey, new chief. He's like, what's up? Meredith, give her heart and soul to this place, and you give her your chump change. And she's like, you know what? She needs to ask for it. Mm-hmm. If she wants more, she needs to ask for it. That's what a real feminist would say, and that's what a real feminist would do. And that, to me, was just nail on the head.
A nail on the head how?
That's exactly what she should have done.
Right.
Yeah. At first, I thought it was Bailey who was going to be coming in and trying to slash budgets and just bring the bottom line of the hospital down. But no, she was trying to make Meredith ask for what she thought she deserved.
So then let me take it this way. What do you think about, that's a pretty political, politically lay it out. For the females on the show, what do you guys think about the fact that it was not veiled at all? They just straight up said it.
Well, I love that about it. I love that about the show. The show originally, the concept in Shonda's mind, I've read different interviews before, was she loved the idea of women being extremely competitive and not apologizing for it with each other, with the world, in their careers. And she wanted to focus on that.
Right. I love the fact that they're hitting this topic, especially it doesn't matter if you're in the medicine or whatever industry or profession you're in. It's that this is an ongoing issue that's, still going. And the fact that they can relay it to us and being in that position, again, position of authority, but actually doing something about it. So I love the fact that they bring it up, but also resolve it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas just bring up a topic and there's no resolve.
Right.
And it to me, a lot of times Grey's Anatomy is at the forefront of having all of the different medical innovations on their show. Mm-hmm. But this is a really popular topic right now. Mm-hmm. The wage gap between men and women in this country. Mm-hmm. I mean, the shout out at the Oscars from Patricia Arquette.
Right.
A lot of people are talking about it, and I love that they incorporated it in this way.
Yeah.
And Meredith did. She asked for it.
And she got it.
In a good way.
She got her raise. She did.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Did you get your raise? Is that too personal?
I probably shouldn't share that information.
Okay. We'll talk about that after.
But Jackson and April, that was was a bummer. That took a turn I wasn't expecting this episode.
Jackson's, he's like, he's being a jerk. I feel like, I understand he's hurt, but it's like, dude, you need to relax just a little bit. Like, take a chill pill, just chill, be a little bit nicer, you know?
So, he wants her out, and she won't leave.
Yeah, obviously.
And you know what? I love April, the fact that she has the tenacity to stay. And that's what he should have expected when he married her, not only from her personality, but also from her commitment to marriage and her religion and all that jazz.
Mm-hmm.
My thing was, because we saw Jackson, he's having that whole mini rant, be like, I'm not going to be the one to, she's not going to win. That's my name on the lease. And if I let her stay and live there, it's like, then she won and mm-hmm. I lost. And, you know, that's not fair to her. I get that. But after that whole rant, he still left.
I know. Like, he's still chickened out.
Who really won?
She won. Like, well, she wanted the marriage to survive.
Yeah, but like you're arguing that you're not going to let her win, but yet you did.
I think he let her win that argument, but at the end of the day, he freaking peaced out. So I think he was doing him for sure. And I mean, he actually legitimately left. So I think he's going to win the war, well, I guess.
Here's the thing about those two.
He lost his battle, will win the war.
There you go.
She was looking him in the face and saying stuff like, you know, she had this really annoying April moment, which reminded me of April of yesteryear.
Mm-hmm.
Better or worse, Jackson. Better or worse. But she's like saying all of these things to him. You don't just leave. Mm-hmm. You don't just give up.
Mm-hmm.
She left.
She did.
You know? And so...
No, but
she didn't give up though. She just left.
That's the thing. Like
she said, we need space, and he said we need space now. And I think she was wanting the space to be temporary, and now she's not. And he's wanting the space to be permanent.
Here's the thing. She addressed your exact point. If April were sitting here in my seat right now, I'm going to speak for her. So you. I don't know if we look alike. I hope not. Maybe a little bit. I don't know.
April's his spirit animal.
Yes, but she addressed your point in that argument, and she said, no, I didn't leave. I just went away for a little while, which I don't really know what the difference is. But, I mean, she's basically, I wasn't leaving you. I was leaving for a little while, and there's an understanding that I was going to come back. And Jackson, what she's so upset about is that Jackson's saying, like, okay, no, I'm just going to freaking leave and not come back.
But Jackson, when she said, I'm leaving, said, I will not be here. So she left knowing that he felt that way.
But come on. She was like, no, he's kidding.
Well, but that's also the thing. It's like, April believed that, mm-hmm. but Jackson actually executed and went through with it.
Well, I really still feel like they have, like, more coming. They're going to get back together. This is all good. But Jackson, why would he just leave? He should have, if he was really going to stand his ground, change the locks. But it proves mm-hmm. he still has too much in his heart for her, whether it's love or compassion, to lock the door on her. Although I really feel like she's crazy enough that if he had changed the lock, she would have found a way to get in. She would have brought the car
yes. for sure.
I think it's also, we know Jackson's very sensitive in ways too, and it might have just been the less violent, you know, the less, I don't want to say violent, but the higher road in
a little
a way.
Bit less jarring, yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that, like, he was, in a way, the better man and just let her have it. Be like, you know what, walking out.
Not the better man. He's weak. She's fighting for the relationship. If he was going to put up the same level of fight against a relationship that she is for, he would have changed the locks. But she would have, like, broken down the door, called the cops, the bomb threat, or something like that. You have to let me in. You know, she would have figured out a way, and maybe that was the only way that he could think of to just not have to be around her that night.
I think right now he's just so emotionally hurt and wounded by this that he just he can't even follow through with his own actions.
Yeah, his own actions. I mean, the thing is this. I feel like actually what happened was almost more hurtful or more painful for the audience and for him, and for, I mean, for everybody involved, because he said the thing about, like, I'm gonna change the locks, and she said, I'll bring the crowbar. And obviously he didn't go through with it, but it's almost more hurtful because he's like, look, I couldn't change the locks, but that doesn't matter. I had to get away from you. No matter what, I had to get away from you. You know? And so I feel like it's almost even more hurtful that he just left.
It could be, but she left too.
He is making
this decision as a direct reaction of her leaving. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't have left if she hadn't left first. and I'm not sticking up for him, not saying who's right in the situation, but he's coming from a place of pain that was brought on by her actions, and she knew that that was going to have the effect on him.
So do you think they're going to survive?
Absolutely, yes. These two are going to survive. This to me is one of the more interesting cases of marital discourse on this show. For some reason, maybe because it's so real. Not that everybody's baby dies and that they go off to war or whatever. Just one person fighting hard for the relationship and the other one trying to deal with feelings from the past. That this to me is just if watching them feels like what being a young married person in distress does.
And it's like they're both fighting hard, but it's like they're not fighting hard at the same time. You know, like they're both fighting. They both fought hard, but they fought at like different times.
Yeah, they're ships passing in the night.
Right.
Yeah, different places in life.
So, Marissa, are they going to make it or not?
I want to say yes, because I still think they're endgame.
They definitely are.
I agree.
Hashtag J-Pro.
I agree.
So I was saying on last week's show, this is like the only relationship on the show, and somebody in the YouTube comments was like, hello, Bailey and Ben.
Oh, yeah. I think it's just because there's not a lot of drama there. It's pretty straightforward.
I did forget about them. I think the reason that we are so like confused about Bailey and Ben is because they get married and he left for a few seasons to go be on that new show, but supposedly to just train in LA or something like that. And so we don't really get to see them as a couple, really.
They're kind of boring. I mean,
I don't want to say boring, but I want to say they're the most stable relationship out of everybody right now. And the fact that they're the one calm relationship we don't have to worry about.
But you don't watch Grey's Anatomy for stable relationships.
So we watch Grey's
Anatomy to see things blow up.
We watch it for all the other unstable relationships, like Jackson and April right now.
So, okay, so they're the one. You need to have one stable relationship, I guess, right?
Yes, there's always one stable relationship.
A little stability.
But they are a great couple. Sorry to forget about them. Not to throw them by the wayside. I mean, I did love their wedding and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But let's just jump into the Peyton story before we get into the last episode or the last love story. So the first Peyton story came in was this poop girl. And I really thought we were going to hear more.
All we heard, did you poop? I'm like, is there a backstory?
Blah blah blah. Did you poop? Right. Blah blah blah. And what's funny is with a lot of surgeries, and a family member had told me this before. They say
about to get real right
if
here.
If you don't fart, you don't depart. Because it's a lot of telling if your system is working correctly, if you're still, like, you know, releasing air, that type of thing.
Okay.
So it's actually a huge line that the people draw. You can't leave the hospital after surgery unless you fart or, in certain cases, actually poop.
Yeah. And this reminds me of season one when Izzy had a patient with, it was one of the first patients she ever took care of, and the man had to go poop. And then, like, it was the whole episode building, and he was like, yeah, I finally did it. And she's like, yeah, great.
It really is. It's a big celebratory thing.
In this episode, though, they just left it out, like...
It really was.
You're like, oh, okay, there's going to be more, it's going to be an ongoing... And they refer to it, like, one other time.
It was funny, though. That little girl's like, I booked my part. Oh, no. Mom, I'm only in one scene talking about poop. But I guess that was...
You gotta do what you gotta do.
So she was literally 3 seconds, and then at the end, I pooped! Uh-huh. You're out of the hospital.
She gave him a
pound and
peaced out. You
know what? Way to go, girl.
Yeah.
Hey. I hope your career does more than just this little moment, but if not,
if that's all you had to do today...
You rocked it.
Yes.
Sometimes that's great for kids, especially during the whole potty training. And they're like, I did it. You're like, yeah.
She's going to be Oprah someday. And she's going to be like, I was the girl who pooped on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
But I think that it's in the end, after a really hard episode for Alex, that was supposed to be a win. Mm.
Yeah.
That was supposed to make us feel a little bit better about him and Pete's. But they get this really hard case. And this mother comes in, obviously in labor, having twins, doesn't want to know the gender, gives birth to a boy and girl, and somebody tweeted, whoa, those babies look yellow.
Yeah.
It's because they were jaundice. And it's just very apparent right away that everything was not okay with the little babies.
Yeah. It was a hard one to watch. It was very, very heartbreaking. I mean, golly. Yeah. I don't know.
It's always heartbreaking to see such a real type of story, and especially now that there's two human beings instead of just one, it makes it twice as bad.
Anything on this show having to do with babies is just so close to my life right now. Not just that, but yeah, I've been pregnant like 2 seasons ago. I'm pregnant right now. I have a baby. Seems like all my family and cousins, our friends are in the same phase. So everything that happens on the show reminds me of someone I know and something that they've been through. And it's just very painful and raw to kind of watch it play out on the show, how it must have been their life. Mm-hmm. Like my cousin, it was this exact same thing. She goes to this long labor, has this baby, doesn't even get a glimpse of him before they whisk him off to the NICU. He had a much better outcome than this. He had some meconium in his lungs, but still, like, she was so traumatized by that that she had her next baby at home. And everyone's like, what if something happens now? And she's like, I just can't fathom them taking it away right when it's born again.
The second I saw that they were going to have twins, I freaking knew they were going to do that to us. I'm like, something's going to happen to one of them. One of them's going to live, and then something's going to be wrong with the other one. I know it's going to freaking happen, and they did it. It's like the saddest thing on planet
Sophie's
Earth.
Sophie's choice.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
It's always so interesting with twins, though. It always just brings a whole new dynamic into
the
show.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Especially when it's on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah. And so we find out that Dr. DeLuca is assigned to this to pee today at the service of Alex. And Dr. DeLuca's like, "Paul, Alex, like, you sent me the one person who doesn't like kids." And this to me as well was one of my favorite parts of the episode.
What is just like his storyline of him?
The storyline start to finish. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. How we think, oh, he doesn't like kids. What a shallow tool, you know?
Right. And then at the end, that's like what ends up affecting him like crazy, for sure.
And then I think that's great because, you know, I said it last week, he needs a story.
We needed more.
Yeah. And he got something tonight, but also to show and build up at the beginning of the episode, he's in a way heartless, but showing that he actually really does genuinely care and he wants to do a good job wherever department he's in. I was like, yes, I can like this. I can follow this intern.
One line that I think that we're missing that really, really stuck out to me, especially when you look at the totality of Karev's character from being kind of like a jerk when he first came on the show to who he is now, was when he was talking to the mom and he told the mom, that's what I'm here for. I'm going to make the decision. And then the line he said was like, and you know, whatever happens after that, you put it on me. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, that is a very telling line of where his character, of how far his character's come from kind of like a whatever, kind of a jerk, D-bag kind of a guy to now being a guy who's like, I'll take the responsibility for whatever happens. And you can, if something bad happens, you can hate me. You know?
And watching Karev go from, just the completely selfish one in the very beginning of the season that no one liked, he was always rude, to what he is now, who's still always rude, but kind of this, you know, peed god who has really embraced it and has just kept these premature babies alive for so long, and really crushes his soul with the compassion and the empathy that he feels for these cases. That's been really fun to watch. And it seems so genuine. I would have never believed he was going to be a peed
guy. Yeah, when he was holding the dead baby, like, just cradling it. I mean, come on.
I wish he would have given that moment to the parents. Oh. If the baby was going to be alive.
Actually, now that I think about it, that's pretty jacked up.
No, I mean, it was cool. The baby was already gone, I think. It was really beautiful to watch him hold it, you know, as the baby was passing away or whatever. But if at all possible, I wish they had rushed it to the parents somehow.
I get that, but also just for storytelling, what also is going on in Karev's personal life with Joe, it makes sense that he was the one holding the baby because I think that was the moment that, like, really forced him to consider his life and be like, maybe I would actually be a great father.
I think he knows he would be a good father. He just always kind of in the back of his head, like, when he was talking to Meredith, goes back to, I was this kid that hated everyone and fought all the time and didn't have a future. And
I bet he would be a great father. I would want him as my dad because he seems like he'd be super fun, super cool. We'd go, we'd hang out.
He's grumpy.
No.
He's going to be a grumpy dad.
He'd be fun.
Dad, play fetch with me.
No.
Plus, his dad was bad, too.
Yeah.
So anybody who, I mean, I shouldn't speak for everyone with dad issues or whatever, but, like, I have had a couple people tell me before, I don't know, my parents weren't that great. I don't really want to try it. I wouldn't want to risk being like them or whatever.
Really?
It's like, hey, change it. Change the storyline, right?
Well, the thing that, back to DeLuca, he seems to be the guy that is misunderstood right in the beginning. The super hot guy that's rarely misunderstood, but then you kind of understand him.
Mm-hmm.
But he said he just saw this woman whenever he was first on Peds. He saw this woman lose her child and cried, and he said, I realized she was going to be crying like that the rest of her life. Because, like, I just know what's right for me and what's not, and I can't, I won't thrive in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a very realistic statement,
though. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, and coming from, you know, coming from a man's perspective, that takes a lot for him to admit that. I was like, yes, I respect you.
Yeah, that's true. He showed a lot of vulnerability in that. But I wonder if this is going to push him maybe back into it. It's going to motivate him to try to save lives.
I don't know. Sometimes you know what's going to crush you as a person and what won't. I used to give tours in assisted living, and it was a great paying job. But the residents would pass away quite frequently because they were really, really old, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it just, I couldn't do it. It was like I was there a few months. I was getting depressed and crying every day after work. And Kyle and I, my husband, were like, this is not it. It's just going to ruin me emotionally. Mm-hmm. And it's, whoa, and it's just not what I need to be doing for a job.
I think it's just like in real life, you have to know what you can and can't handle.
Yeah.
And I think that was his, but it's also... Life has, you have to be thrown into situations just to test if you can handle it or not.
Yeah. Well, it was crazy, him having to choose. They decided to name these babies Emma and David, and he had to choose between the boy and the girl because only the dad was a match for the liver transplant. And he spent the entire episode back and forth and back and forth, and all of them coming in like, well, it's up to you.
I guess I didn't realize how close the babies were to death at that point. Because they were talking to me, I was like, well, why don't you just give it to one of them and then just wait for the other one to get a liver? But I guess I didn't realize they were that close to death.
Yeah.
I mean, well, he was working all night trying to...
They're like, you need sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes home to get sleep. And Joe chooses that time to have this huge conversation with him.
About babies too, right?
Yeah, definitely. So I definitely, when she was talking in the bathroom with Stephanie, I was thinking she was pregnant.
I for sure thought she was, absolutely. And then especially with what all is happening this episode with the babies, and I thought they were going to develop Karev as a dad and then let him be a dad.
Well, I mean...
I think we all did, but I think we said in our predictions last week it'd be too simple to think it was just a regular
that's
pregnancy.
True.
You know what? Owen wasn't in this episode at all.
No,
not even
where
one
was he?
Second.
Well,
where
there's
was
a new
he?
Chief in town.
Well, he... The reason I even thought of that is because for several seasons, the theme going on with Owen was that he wanted to be a father. And he's still not.
That's
so sad. But anyway, I was thinking about them developing Karev as a parent. Yeah, Jill picked the wrong time to drop this bomb.
She brings it... Where did she say she found the...
In their apartment.
Yeah. Okay,
she found the embryos.
That's a pretty specific thing
from
to
Izzy.
Find.
I don't know where she found it, and I don't even know how she would understand it necessarily. It was an embryo invoice.
Yeah.
But she's like, so you were going to have kids with her, and you were only going to get a dog with me? What are we? And I'm like, you know what,
Joe? Am I
just
a dog girl?
Correct me if I'm wrong. She turned down his proposal.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why
in
is she
face.
Now? Why is she now all of a sudden? What are we? What am I to you? You don't take me seriously.
It's like you're the girl
he
who turned
proposed.
Me down. Yes.
Yeah. Why would he ever assume that she wanted to have children or a dog if she wouldn't even marry him at first?
And they just seem like they're not there. Their relationship isn't there yet to have. I don't know. Like, just even from maturity, does she seem mature enough to have a
definitely
a,
no.
a kid?
No,
no.
He's like, you get all squirrely. I did not.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
get squirrely.
I love that word. Squirrely is like the best word. Like, yeah, it's squirrely is the right word for
I
that.
I think she brings up all these situations with Karev because she herself is just afraid she's going to eventually lose him down the line, whether it be with no having no family or no support system or something would make Karev leave.
So you think it's more about. Like creating an anchor to keep
him
around,
yeah.
Rather than actually wanting a baby,
right? And okay. you know, they,
I, yeah, I don't think she wanted a baby either.
No, but we saw the whole end of last season and like wanting to put down roots and whatnot. That's why they got a house. And it's something to have Joe always just have a connection to Karev.
Mm-hmm.
Karev was like, "That was 100 years ago. That hardly matters. I really didn't even want to do it then. I married her. She had cancer."
And hey, that's, you know, I understand what he was saying. Like, if I was her, I'd be like, okay, like, I get that. That makes sense. You know, she had cancer and we froze her eggs or I don't know how the process goes, but whatever it was.
I don't know why she would be so mad right now. He's like, she was my wife. Why would you want to have kids with your wife and not me? Probably because you said no.
And you're squirrely.
You have,
first of all,
she hasn't even given him an option. of even thinking that way
right,
yet.
Right. And then at the end, when he like wants to get down and dirty, and this is a PG show, so
let's
when
start
he,
it now.
When he wants to make it happen, she rejects him. And I know it's kind of lighthearted and funny, but like,
I don't know if she. Actually, I don't think she definitely rejected him.
No, she let it happen.
Yeah, no, she said like specific, and I get that it was like lighthearted, but she still did say like, we're not having, I don't want to have a family right now. Remember when they were like hugging right. on the couch?
Basically, if you don't want to have a family right now, Joe, the conversation can wait till the guys had a nap.
Yeah,
it's like,
you can
don't
chill.
Bring it up then.
You can chill.
That's just one of the principles of effective communication, is waiting until it's a good time to have a conversation, and it drives me nuts. See, whenever people don't.
My problem with Joe is, like, I'm not sure the audience knows exactly what she wants out of this relationship with Kuro.
And here's the other thing. Do you guys remember?
She doesn't know.
Remember the elevator where you definitely have 20 or 30 seconds? She's like, do you want kids? Come on.
That's it.
It's a yes or no question. It's not really.
What's
no, it's not.
Yeah, it's cornering him to say yes. She's like, okay, great. Well, let's rock and roll then.
Or
it sounds great.
Yes, with Izzy. Mm-hmm. What? You mm-hmm. know?
Yeah. Yep.
Not a good time or place. Either place, Joe.
Generally, elevators are not good.
No.
Except on Grey's Anatomy, usually. That's what we talked about
great
last
for making
week.
Out,
normally, those are great places
elevators
to have conversations.
Elevators on Grey's Anatomy is great places to make out, great places
Key
to
scenes.
Have serious yes. conversations, great places to have fights, great places to
the
do surgeries.
How many floors is this hospital?
Key scenes. But just the last thing about Joe is just, I think she always asks all these questions and bring up hypothetical situations with Krev just to see if he will still be there in the future.
That's
like
it.
She
That's
has
a great
that
point.
Possibility to.
So she's just
to.
Saying, I want to like, know if you're planning on sticking around, which he told her that. He told her that at the end of the episode tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Said, I'm not going anywhere.
Like, she doesn't want to know. She wants to know for the future.
Right.
Yeah. I really like them as a couple. She really irritated me tonight, but I guess it's because he felt like he was dealing with so much more important things. And if she was pregnant, but the fact that she just wanted to ask about him about something in his past, just the level of urgency to which she approached it seemed out of line.
Especially when all he wanted was a nap. I'm like, can you give the guy a nap?
Right. Okay. So,
but back
with
to the,
that, do you think this will fully tie and conclude the whole Izzy relationship? Now, like, now that that has come full circle, like,
no
she's gone.
That's under
life.
That's under my prediction, so I'm gonna.
Okay.
The ghosts of relationships past, especially when there's marriage involved, are never totally gone.
Okay.
Never.
I just find it interesting. They
Do you mean
Izzy
ghosts
back.
Because she's.
She's not dead. Izzy didn't die.
You think she's coming back?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
She pissed Shonda off worse than Patrick did.
Are we talking about real life? Are we talking about
both?
Okay,
yeah.
Izzy and Katherine Heigl pissed her off.
That's
she is
true.
Not
gone.
Coming back. I think she's even mentioned it before in interviews, and Shonda's been like, "Nope."
Actually, it's funny. You know, this is, I guess, a little bit of gossip on the show, though. The Daily Beast. I just read an article all about like the best TV feuds of all time, and they said that the Katherine Heigl, where she like re-signed her contract and then left to go make movies and all that, that was one of the biggest TV feuds of all time.
It was. Mm. They submitted her for an Emmy, and she said, "No, please don't. I don't think the material was good enough this year." Katherine Heigl speaks her mind,
she's
but
ballsy.
Girl
yeah.
needs
she's
to keep
ballsy.
It together.
Yeah.
There's a reason that she was so talented and so gorgeous and hardly works anymore.
And then she goes and she makes 27 dresses.
Yeah.
I never saw it, but I heard it, you know.
But
yes.
Real quick, I did want to mention that I don't think it's a coincidence that October, and specifically October 15th, is National Pregnancy and Infant Loss Remembrance Day. So I'm thinking Grey's Anatomy may have timed it out with this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're having a thing at our church on the 15th. And yeah, so I.
Did you know that off the top of your head?
I did.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, because it's coming up.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's very convenient.
And so I think they may have timed that out purposely, which was another great thing that I felt like Grey's Anatomy was staying very relevant.
Yes.
So
definitely.
Smart.
Yes.
So smart.
Which, that's almost everything.
I think
besides,
so.
Besides,
well,
apparently, Maggie dated somebody for 6 months.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to, yeah.
Really?
It was so confusing.
Maggie broke down. Maggie went full Maggie in a bigger way than I've ever seen before tonight.
Yeah, and then Maggie. Like her and DeLuca make out at the very end. It just, her character is just strange to me.
She's odd.
She's just strange.
Weird. They don't even go together either, and I said it before they even started making out. I was like, if these two hook up, no, I'm not having it.
I don't hate it.
I don't hate it. I just find it. It's just
no. I'm completely fine.
It's another relationship out of convenience.
They're both weird and misunderstood.
I think that's a good way to say it.
Out of convenience.
Yeah, that's
and
a good way to say it.
We've seen every doctor hook up out of convenience.
Yes.
But I don't see any end game with this relationship.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's too soon to tell, but I do not have a problem with it. Although, who was he flirting with when he first came on the series? Stephanie,
oh, it was,
I thought.
Wasn't it Arizona?
No. Stephanie. Arizona's gay.
Bonman. Well, no, but I thought he was trying.
Oh, you're right. Okay, well, I know what you're saying.
Didn't he hit on her at first?
Him and someone had chemistry before they realized he was an intern. I think it was Stephanie, though.
Yeah, I don't recall. I remember it was somebody. I thought that was the joke, was that he was hitting on Arizona and didn't know. I might just be, I guess I dreamed that. I dreamed that.
Well, Maggie went on this full bizarre tangent about how she's an alien and she leaves everyone and
confused.
All the rest of the girls are like, sit back and enjoy the show.
Explain the alien to me, though. Where does alien fit in? I guess I'm confused.
She left her planet and came to a new planet.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
That's so strange. So
then at the very end, she's like still feeling all alien-y. And then DeLuca's feeling all
patient-die-y.
And they're sitting there drinking. I literally don't know a person in my life who goes to a bar and has shots alone, but they do all the time on the show.
It's Tuesday night. Yeah.
And she's like, ooh, pass me those shots.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, your eyes. Ooh, your tongue.
Yeah, right.
Like,
there.
She didn't waste any time.
Exactly.
And it's like she stopped in the middle
of the
kiss.
Welcome to Earth.
Exactly. Like
yes,
that.
Those eyes are pretty. And Maggie girl, I agree.
Yep.
So,
I'll give it to her.
Let's move on to really, really quick news and gossip.
I did mine too early.
Okay. Well, this is just a super fast one. And I do have to give a shout out. It was to somebody on Twitter. They said that Martin Henderson from The Ring and from Off the Map, where he played a doctor, should be coming on the show any minute now. Possibly as a love interest for Meredith, but they're not saying.
That's what I actually heard that too. The guy from The Ring, and I mean, that just brings back nightmares from.
Oh no,
grade.
Kidding! Let's not talk about that.
But
anyway,
about the
I will
that
say that Mick Dreamy, Mick Steamy, Mick DeLuca, and Mick Ring all look exactly like each other. They really have a type on this show.
That is true. Do you think
as
they're going to call him Mick Ring?
You know, I'm okay.
No,
with
I
that.
Just I, no, let's not call him that either. I just had to get past it. And now on to predictions. So we saw next week that Maggie and Luca hook up, and there's a little bit of awkward walk of shame the next morning. What do you think's going to happen with that?
It's going to throw back into Maggie's face because she should not have hooked up with DeLuca. And they're going to have another girls' night and get drunk again, and maybe it'll just be an ongoing thing.
I don't have a problem with this relationship. Maggie's needed love for a while, and none of this fake somebody dated somebody for 6 months but we never saw it on camera thing. Real.
Yeah, I think it'll probably be like an ongoing hookup type thing, but it's not going to, I don't think it'll develop into anything.
What was your prediction that you wanted to say for the end?
Thank you for asking. I appreciate that, Julie. My prediction was, I think that maybe there's like a little Karev Jr. running around somewhere when they froze the eggs. Just something like that. Something crazy happened. I'm just saying.
Like, Izzy actually went through
yes,
with it?
Yes, I bet so. Well, I don't know. I don't want to say it that strongly, but. It'd be interesting.
That's kind of
that
crazy.
I would like that as a storyline. Although they did do that with Izzy. How she had that child up for adoption.
That's
and had
true.
To give the bone marrow, whatever. Any other predictions? Maybe about J'April?
Yeah, I said it last week, but now we know Karev has actually physically left. First up,
you mean
breakup.
Jackson?
Oh, yeah. That's sorry.
And he went and
all
stayed with Ben and Bailey.
Yeah, that was actually pretty funny. But Jackson has now actually physically left one of the first steps of separation. And who knows if he's going to serve those papers?
They'll
or
keep
not.
Fighting, but they'll stay together. Just
yeah,
they have to.
I think he's just really he's really angry and hurt right now. Yep. That's it.
So yeah, as far as episodes go. This one's in the 90s for me. I loved it. It hit all the right notes. I wasn't bored. I wasn't rolling my eyes. I was crying a little bit and laughing. I loved it.
Totally agree. I think this was a very much better than average show.
Better than last week?
Yes.
It's great.
Yes.
Yeah. So thank you guys for joining us. Please keep up the conversation on hashtag ABTV Grace and find me on Twitter and all things social media at Julie Parton, JuliePartin.
And you can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV.
And you can follow me on Periscope at JLives1.
Thanks. See you next week.
See ya.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.